Hey, Sarah Beth.
Hey, Carrie.
What's the worst thing in the world?
Running out of chocolate.
Okay, what's the second worst thing in the world?
Oh, running out of sweet romance books.
That's right. Welcome to the Sweet Romance Podcast. I'm Carrie Monet.
And I'm Sarah Beth Schneider. We are here to bring you the best of clean and wholesome romance so you never run out of great books to read.
Can't help you with the chocolate, though.
I first learned of Dulcie Dameron actually from hosting this podcast. In our interview with Anna Conwell, Anna suggested Dulcie as one of the next sweet romance authors to read. And I'm pretty sure that Rachel from Closed Door Romance also mentioned her. So I immediately downloaded a copy of Dulcie's latest book, 3 Days to Forget. And y'all, I was hooked.
We are so glad Dulcie is joining us today. Dulcie has written several books and she is currently in the middle of writing several series. It's always impressive when authors can jump between series. So, Dulcie, we are just thrilled to have you with us today.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Yeah. So just to start off, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what do your days look like?
Okay, so I am a wife and a mother of five. I've got five kids. We own a very old, very large house that demands a ton of our attention. And I have three dogs. So my days are super busy taking care of all of those things. But I am the type of person that doesn't squeeze in writing time where I can. I pretty much squeeze all of my other duties around the writing time. Love to write and get into a story. So that's just a little bit about me and kind of what my day looks like is I get up in the morning and I, for whatever reason, I just write the best in the mornings. So I'm usually writing while also trying to snuggle my spoiled little toddler who demands all my attention. So, that's kind of what my writing day looks like. Usually in the afternoons, I'm trying to get housework and all the other crazy stuff of life done before the kids get home from school. But that's
fantastic. I love that. So how did you get started writing sweet romance? It sounds like you're really in the thick of it there. Some people might say you've got a full life already.
Yes, I definitely do. So I actually was an avid reader before I started writing. I got pregnant in 2020 and just had a really difficult, awful pregnancy. I was sick most of the time. Which you wouldn't think being like your last pregnancy that you would feel so bad, but I really did. And that's when I really rediscovered my love for reading. And I was reading like almost 100 books a year. I was just reading a ton. And then after I had my daughter, I really, really struggled with postpartum depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know when it started, but I kind of transferred my love for reading and thought, you know, maybe I could like do this myself. Maybe I could write a fictional story myself. So I started writing and that really, really helped me cope with the anxiety and the depression. It gave me like a new purpose to create, you know, this fictional world and these stories that I could kind of redirect my focus to. And it was like a coping mechanism for me, but it ended up being amazing. Then a year later, I told my husband, you know, I've got these three stories that I've kind of been like thinking maybe I could publish and turn into actual books. And he was on board. So I looked into traditional publishing. I looked into indie publishing. And I really just decided that I wanted to go indie and I wanted to try it and just see what happened. And those were Christian romances because that's really what I love to read. I did also start reading sweet romance. And then I also discovered clean fantasy. And so all of, you know, it kind of opens a whole new world of reading when you discover that whole entire community. So I started with Christian romance and then I do still write it, but I've kind of veered a little bit to the more sweet romance. And I feel like I kind of found my sweet spot, so to speak, there. I really enjoy writing it. I didn't really think I had the chops to do romantic comedy. So I kind of struggled with that a lot at first, but, you know, they're a little bit more angsty. My stories are, but I still feel like I'm doing okay adding in that comedic element. So.
Yeah, for sure. I love what you said about using it, with kind of coping with postpartum depression, because one thing that's really struck me with your books is that you include real people. I mean, divorced, widowed, single parents, people who've experienced a tragedy. So how do you choose your main characters and ways to make them real or relatable to your readers?
This is an interesting question because I usually get just a story idea, like a general story idea first. And I am what you would call like a discovery writer or a pantser. I just sit down and start writing and the story just kind of comes from there. So as far as characters go, I don't necessarily like develop the characters first. They kind of develop as the story develops. So I usually do have, you know, kind of an idea of who this person is in my mind. But as I begin writing, they kind of come to life on the page and reveal themselves to me, I guess, as I write, which sounds like super weird and kind of out there, but it's just totally true. Like their characteristics take shape. There are definitely times when I try to purposely add like little quirks that would make them different or have them overcome certain struggles that would make them relatable. But even in those times, sometimes the things I want to add don't fit the character. Mm-hmm. For instance, my most recent male main character, Bridger, who's going to show up in Cross Check Crush, I was trying to fit something into his character and almost halfway through the story, it just wasn't working. Like he was kind of telling me, nope, this is not me. So I had to nix it and go through and rework some stuff, but he's way more just who he is now without that little thing that I was trying to like, you know, pigeonhole him into. Uh-huh. So yeah, I guess I would just say they develop as the story develops.
Well, I'm a writer as well. And I have to say I consider myself a plotter, but I got to tell you, none of my characters do what they're supposed to be doing when they're supposed to be doing them. And I come in and try and kind of fit them into the boxes and they do their own thing anyway. So I might just be a pantser at heart and I might try that next time and just let them do what they're going to do.
It's true. That's so true. They really just do.
They do what they're going to do. Just like kids. Interesting.
Oh, totally.
So in your book, Sign Me Up, the main male character is deaf. You wrote that you relied on sensitivity readers who were either deaf or had deaf family members. Tell us more about that process.
So it was really difficult to write a character like Parker. Mm-hmm. It was a very rewarding experience, but, you know, there was just a lot of pressure trying to do his character justice and also represent the deaf community well, because I personally have no experience, obviously, mm-hmm. being deaf or hearing impaired, and I don't have any ties to the deaf community. So it really was, it took a lot of research and just talking to other people. My sister has taken ASL classes and my niece, and so I kind of would bounce ideas off of them and definitely the sensitivity readers were wonderful because they were able to read through the entire manuscript and just kind of let me know, like steer me in the right direction, I guess, mm-hmm. but also say, you like nailed this, you did this really well. But it really did take just a lot of research on my part to kind of figure out what it is like to be, you know, that type of person. And I'll never understand, I'll truly never understand what it is like, but, you know, just utilizing their experiences did really help bring Parker to life. And I just loved the experience of getting to know him as a character, even though it was difficult. He really did just, like I said, come to life on the page. And I love him so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
I love what you said about Parker. I feel like stories are such a great way for us to experience things outside of our norm. Just like it's important to be able to see your own experience in a book, it's important to see someone else's experience. And when I read Sign Me Up, it actually reminded me of a couple that I used to work with. We were in the same company, but different departments. And he was deaf and she wasn't, much like Jamie and Parker. And they worked in the same place, which is kind of funny, but I think they met in college, but it was just fun to read it because it made me think about them in a different way than I had when I knew them. So anyway, tell us what inspired you to include experiences like this in your book.
I get this question a lot, and it's kind of a hard one to answer. I do know that I have really enjoyed reading characters like that in other books, but I had never read of a deaf character in a contemporary book before. So I just feel like it's an underrepresented thing. But not only deaf characters, I mean, there's a ton of different, you know, walks of life that just aren't really represented that much in fiction. So I just kind of had a heart to just bring that to my readers in maybe a little different setting, a more lighthearted setting with the rom-com aspect. I wanted to do something different and really explore, like you said, like you get to kind of live through that person that has such a different life from you. So I kind of wanted to just explore that whole idea. And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my favorite parts about reading is feeling I get to step inside of somebody's shoes and really start to think about, like, when my dear friend lost her husband, I remember feeling like I went into that experience with her a little better prepared because I had read a story about a woman who lost her husband, and I kind of had a feel for which things would be helpful and which things would not be helpful. And I owe so much of my ability to relate to human beings to reading books. It's kind of like that line in You've Got Mail where she says, "So much of what I see reminds me of something I read in a book," when shouldn't it be the opposite?
Yeah. Well, it's like the ultimate empathy builder because you are putting yourself in someone's shoes. And while quote unquote real life may not be exactly that way, you've at least experienced it in some form or fashion as you've read it, for sure.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So you've just released Cross Check Crush, a fake dating hockey romance. So a hockey romance is so big right now, and I'm loving it. I'm loving all the sports romances lately. So this is a series you're writing with several other authors, right? So tell us more about that, how this series came to be.
Yes. So I absolutely blame my two friends for this series even coming to be. I actually told Anna that I was not going to write a hockey romance because for whatever reason, I feel like I am the person who needs to shy away from the trends and blaze my own path and do my own thing, which was why I wrote 3 Days to Forget, because I wanted to write a winter sports romance, but I did not want to do hockey. So I went with snowboarding, but which is sad because I enjoy the sport of hockey. Like it's kind of a thing where I grew up and I've been to hockey games, so I enjoy it. But I just didn't want to do it. So anyway, my friend Letitia, who is now my co-author, she wrote her book, The Heart of Christmas, which if you have not read it, it's great. It's a really sweet little novella. And the main character is an injured hockey player. And so she just kind of came to me and MJ and was like, you know, I've got this hockey team. We could totally like do a little series and add more players. And next thing I know, MJ's buying covers and they wrote me into this. So that's how it all came to be. But I'm actually really, really excited about it. I'm so excited to see just, you know, how all the stories go. And these stories are actually going to be interconnected. So you can read them as standalones, but it actually works better if you read them in order.
I love
that's
that.
Kind of how we're writing them. But you're going to see a lot of the same characters. Like if you fall in love with Bridger and Freya and Cross Check Crush, you're going to get to see them throughout the series. So there's going to be a lot of overlapping characters and storylines and stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, peer pressure wins again. It sounds like you got pushed right into a situation that you ended up loving. That's awesome.
I'm going to blame them forever. So
that's what friends are for.
Yes.
So what should readers expect from Cross Check Crush?
So this is a shorter book. We're trying to keep all of our books not, you know, super long, which I kind of have the tendency to go crazy and all that. But it's a shorter novel, and it is a sort of like a friends to lovers fake engagement romance. Mm-hmm. It's definitely Grumpy Sunshine, which I love that trope so much. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, it's a really sweet story. I really can't wait for people to meet Bridger and Freya. He's a little, just a broody little grump, but he's a total like squishy cinnamon roll on the inside, which I love. And she is literally like the epitome of sunshine, and she doesn't let her life experiences get her down. And that's exactly what Bridger needs. So.
That's awesome. I love that. I think the reason that Grumpy Sunshine is so spectacular is that we all want to believe that we bring something that someone needs to a relationship, something that they mm-hmm. absolutely can't do by themselves. Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful.
That is.
So thinking of 3 Days to Forget, Dulcie, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. When I started it, I was not sure about the reverse age gap, especially because AJ was so young. But all that to say, I was like, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go, but you made it so believable. And I fell in love with how AJ cared for Fliss and her daughter. He was just like this steady, reliable character. I don't know what it was about that book, but I think I read it. I didn't put it down, essentially. I read it in one sitting. Oh, wow. And I don't think that was your first time writing reverse age gap, right? Like, what makes you like that trope?
I honestly don't know. I think it's another one of those things with Parker that, like, I just want to do something different. And I mm-hmm. see so much mm-hmm. age gap out there. And I really enjoy the age gap stories. But you really don't see a lot of reverse age gap. However, I see it in my everyday life. Like, I know of quite a few couples where the woman is older than the man, even sometimes by like 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a believable situation. So I really don't know. I think it's just one of those things that you don't see that often, again, in fiction. And so I wanted to bring like a different take to the table. And I just knew, like you said, I did know that I was going to have to make AJ very steady because of his age, which it was 6 years. So I kind of wanted to make him younger, but my beta readers were like, no, no, 23. That's it. That's,
yes. It's like, he's such a baby, but not.
So you have a couple more books lined up to release this year, another one with the Dating a Denver Dragon series, and then a second one in your West Coast Slope series. Tell us more about your writing process. How in depth do you plan your novels? Although I kind of feel like you've already answered this one a little bit, but particularly with a series, you really can't pants a series, right?
Yes. So you can. It's a little bit difficult.
Dangerous.
Yes. I think with fantasy, it's much harder. Like, you really have to plot your series because it's, you know, there's a more intricate plot and all those things. Like with romance, you know that there's always going to be that happy ending. So I basically, like, I've written out the characters and just, kind of who they are, and I go from there. So like, we met all the characters in 3 Days to Forget, and then I'll just build on their personalities then in the next book. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is I like to write the blurb first for the book, because then that's almost like an outline for me. Mm-hmm. I know it's, you know, there's not a whole lot of meat there, but it really just kind of helps steer me in the right direction of where I want that book to go in the future. Mm-hmm. So I'm also going to be releasing the sequel to Sign Me Up. So Spoke Too Soon will be coming sometime this spring. And it's the same kind of thing. I have the characters in mind. Sometimes I'll write down like the scenes that I know that I want to be in the book. And that also helps just kind of steer me in the right direction. But to be honest, I don't do a ton of plotting.
I'm just terrified. I'm just scared just sitting here for you. Obviously it's working though. It's fine. I give you permission to continue doing that. But yeah.
Oh, yay. Okay,
just what you needed. Oh my goodness. Well, this might be like picking a favorite child, but thinking about your books, which one have you had the most fun writing so far?
That is a really tough question. I think probably 3 Days to Forget, because it just literally poured onto the page. Like,
Again, no plotting whatsoever. I just sat down and wrote the book, and it just all came so easy for me. So anytime it comes easy, I mean, I think I wrote the entire thing in like a month, month and a half, maybe. Anytime it comes that easy, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. So do you feel like time periods of your life are marked by the books you've written? Like, oh, Christmas of 2023, when I got those earrings I wanted and this character fell in love, like they're life events for you.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit. Yeah. I can look back definitely. And there's like a certain type of nostalgia linked to each book because yeah, I think of, you know, whatever I was going through at the time in my own personal life, but then also what was happening while that, yeah, book was being released for sure.
So just thinking about, you know, we've talked a lot about different tropes that you've used. So what are some of your favorite tropes to read or even ones that maybe you think you'll want to write about forever?
Definitely my favorite trope, which is a trope that I actually thought I did not like. And that is love triangles. I absolutely love triangles. I just love when they're written well. And it's like, you genuinely do not know who the woman is going to pick, like which guy she's going to go with in the end. I love that. I love the angst of like not knowing. I don't know that I would ever really do that well in my own writing. I think I would like try, but yeah, I'm not totally sure about writing that one, but I definitely love to read it. I also love to read any kind of story where like the female main character and the male main character have to like go on a trip together, whether it's contemporary and they're going on a road trip or if it's historical and they're like traveling through the woods or, you know, if it's fantasy and they're on some kind of quest. I like eat that up. I love that kind of thing.
Hopefully your husband is listening and is planning your next big road trip together. So is there a trope that you think you'll forever avoid?
That is a tough one. I think I'm going to go probably with like secret baby. I feel like in 3 days to forget, I don't know why, in 3 days to forget, I got like as close to that as I want to be where she had a daughter and didn't tell him about it. But I like, I feel like I don't want to surprise readers with just like, you know, oops, we have a baby. Not my kind of thing.
We're surprised your dad. That seems like, that would be a hard character to write. Like, you need to tell him. I want you to tell him so bad.
Yeah, that's nope, not for me.
I don't know why that was the last thing I was expecting you to say, but that really cracked me up. That's so funny. Oh, well, Dulcie, what do you love about the sweet romance community?
Oh man, I love so much. I when I was a reader, an avid reader, I had no clue that Bookstagram was even a thing. But ever since joining as an author, I have just fallen in love with the sweet romance community. Everybody is so supportive. Other authors are supportive. Like I've never been in a business, I guess you could say, where, you know, my colleagues are so supportive of each other. So I love that. I love the readers. They're so responsive and just kind. They send, you know, I get messages all the time from readers telling me how much they love my books. And that's huge, especially when, you know, we're also faced with all the negative reviews and things. So I just really love how welcoming and warm and kind everyone is.
Well, what sweet romance book should we read after yours?
Well, I would have to give my co-authors a shout out, Letitia Sexton and MJ Padgett. I feel like MJ's books especially are definitely just, they don't get the hype that they deserve. She's a great writer. And actually, she wrote my favorite rom-com that I read in 2023. For whatever reason, I just was really wanting like low angst, low stakes type of stories, I think, because it was just a really year for me. So her book Reroute is all of that. It's low angst, but so sweet. And I don't really laugh that much at rom-coms, but I genuinely giggled when I read that story. So that's a really, really good one.
And then Mark is a great book.
Yes. Sorry, laughing out loud. Oh, I know.
Yes.
Or crying. Crying's a good one too. If I'm pulling my eyes out, I know that it's a good one.
Well, thank you so much, Dulcie. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have had so much fun learning more about your life and your work, and just keep it up. We want lots more books this year and every year.
I will do my best. Thank you.
Readers, be sure to pick up Dulcie's newest book, Crosscheck Crush, for her amazing hockey romance. And then go check out the other two books in the series, right?
There's more than that, but there, I think there's five actually total.
Five total. Books. Oh, well, we've got a lot of winter ahead of us to get us through the entire hot summer. Thank you so much for your time. It's just been delightful.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I've loved it.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
We loved talking with Dulcie.
I love the way Dulcie talked about her characters like they were her friends. That's how I feel about the main characters of the books I read. They become my friends.
I also loved learning about how many friends she has who are living out the reverse age gap trope.
I love it. She has so many fascinating stories. No wonder she can produce so many books.
If you haven't checked out Crosscheck Crush, it is available now.
Come back next week to hear our interview with Katie Bailey. We discuss all things accents, forced proximity, and sweet romance tropes that actually happen in real life.
Till next time, happy reading.
Thanks for joining us on the Sweet Romance Podcast. Here's a shameless plug for my own sweet romance at CarrieMonet.com. Right now, you can get the audio edition of The Do's and Don'ts of Dating a Doppelganger for just $5.
Yes, go read it. I might be biased because I edited it, but it's practically perfect.
Get your own sweet romance polished to perfection by contacting Sarah Beth at SBEditing.com.
And come find us on Instagram for bonus content and more book recommendations.
Now you can get back to reading.
And so can we.